This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, March 29th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Innovation and new technology are often driving factors for why someone buys a new smartphone. That's why Samsung is looking to developments in artificial intelligence to help with its new wave of smartphones. At this year's MWC, formerly Mobile World Congress, Samsung's EVP, Patrick Chaumet, spoke with WSJ senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern about this. We'll have highlights from their conversation. That's in a minute. First, we want to remind you that there are still a few more days to send in your questions on generative AI. We're going to be answering them on an upcoming episode of our AI series airing Mondays in April. Do you want to know more about how these kinds of AI programs like ChatGPT or Bard work? Or how this latest wave of AI could impact how we live our lives? Email us a voice recording with your AI question to tnb@wsj.com or leave us a voicemail on 415-439-6482. We look forward to hearing from you. And now, the headlines. Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba plans to split into six independently run companies. The reorganization comes as Beijing wraps up a months-long crackdown on the power of big tech in the country. The division would allow each entity to pursue an IPO. It also effectively dismantles the business empire Chinese billionaire Jack Ma created. Before stepping back from the company in 2019, Ma had been trying to bring Alibaba's subsidiaries and affiliates closer to central management of the company, something authorities pushed back against. Sam Bankman-Fried is facing a new criminal charge. The indictment alleges the FTX founder conspired to pay off Chinese government officials in an attempt to regain access to his frozen accounts containing more than $1 billion in cryptocurrency. Prosecutors say Bankman-Fried directed employees from his crypto investment firm to pay the bribe in 2021. The indictment alleges that following the payment, his account was unfrozen, and an additional payment of tens of millions of dollars was made to complete the payoff. This is the third indictment he has faced since the collapse of FTX. A spokesman for Bankman-Fried declined to comment. We exclusively report that Meta plans to lower some bonus payouts and will assess employee performance more frequently. Employees who are given a rating of met most expectations in their 2023 year-end reviews are set to receive a smaller percentage of their bonus and restricted stock award. This announcement comes amid a sweeping revamp at the social media company. In November, Meta said it would slash 13% of its workforce and recently said it plans to cut 10,000 more jobs in the coming months. Here's social media business reporter Salvador Rodriguez with more on these changes.
It's the latest sign that everything specifically at Meta and in the tech industry is becoming much more rigorous for the everyday employee. Whereas a few years back, especially right when the pandemic started, it was a great time to work in tech. People were getting $1,000 bonuses to set up their work from home offices, and the performance review at that time was very generous. It's night and day at this point. Since then, the tech industry has really taken a beating. And these companies have reacted in sync with that. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO, he started off their first quarterly earning of the year telling everyone that this was going to be the year of efficiency. It's still only March, but you know, we'll see what happens next. We'll see what the next domino to fall is.
Meta didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. And Mickey Mouse has left the metaverse. Walt Disney has eliminated its next-generation storytelling and consumer experience unit. The small division was developing metaverse strategies, according to people familiar with the matter. All of the team's roughly 50 members have lost their jobs. It's part of a broader restructuring that is expected to reduce headcount across the company by around 7,000 over the next 2 months. Sources say the division was tasked with finding ways to tell interactive stories in new technological formats using Disney's extensive library of intellectual property. Okay, coming up, better cameras, voice assistants, power management. Samsung says every aspect of your phone does or will have some sort of AI capability. But what role will new generative AI technology play in this? We'll find out when we come back.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Samsung is the world's largest smartphone maker by shipments, but the smartphone market is in a weird place. Sales are down, but customers will still spend on the highest-end phones. It's perhaps no wonder, then, that Samsung is betting on artificial intelligence to develop new features for its devices. At this year's MWC, formerly World Mobile Congress, Samsung EVP Patrick Chaumet spoke at the WSJ's Journal House. He answered questions from our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Here are highlights from the event.
Patrick, thank you for joining us. How is Samsung thinking about AI? And is it at the top of the list as you're innovating?
Yes. Yes, definitely it is. Of course, there's been a lot of focus on the voice assistants. So we have Bixby, but it's much more than that for us. Actually, the biggest application of AI in our device is in the visual experience, in the camera. And things like to get the quality of pictures in low light that we have, I would encourage you to try. What we do is we combine a series of pictures and with the neural engine optimize all the noise. The 200 megapixel camera is not just about having 200 megapixels as a big number and detail. In low light condition, we can combine 4 to 16 pixels and with AI techniques filter out the noise to get a better quality. So AI is very, very deeply embedded in our product, in the image processing, in the power management, for example, to foresee which app you are using, not using, shut them down, optimize the battery usage. It's all over.
What about the generative AI space? You mentioned Bixby, and I think for years we've sort of thought, okay, these voice assistants, they're not so smart. No offense to Bixby. Now there's this next wave. Is this really the realization that this is what the voice assistants are going to be, and are we going to see that integration?
I believe we are talking about two different things. What I call the first generation of voice assistants, so ours, Bixby, and others, I think they were conceived on a model which was some kind of brain assistant, human-centric vision, that would control all the devices and the services. And the reality is that the artificial intelligence is much more distributed. It's in the applications like Gmail, Gmaps. It's in our own applications. So I think we are going for a much more distributed vision. And in that vision, generative AI techniques, I think they offer great possibilities. But again, not in this kind of centralized way. You can imagine these technologies used in each and every part of the service area.
But with ChatGPT and Bing, I've been using Bing a lot, and you are interacting with a computer. You are talking to it in a way that it is human-like, which I think we sort of all expected. You know, this is where Siri and Bixby and Alexa were going to go. Is Samsung looking at using these technologies to make that conversation better on a phone?
Absolutely. So we, as you know, we have great partners. And at least
I heard Microsoft is a partner.
Microsoft is a partner. Google is a partner, which makes it interesting. So Bixby, Bixby is our voice agent to control the phone. So it's a very effective tool to command things on your phone. Not only the phone, also we use it a lot in the connected home. Yep. Command your appliance, TV, and things like that. So we are very focused on how to simply command and control Samsung devices by voice. The generative AI technique is allowing different things. And our expectation is that we will work with our partners, deeply, we are, to leverage all the potential.
You're able to use Bixby to respond to a call, right? Tell me how that works, and then I want to talk about the generative voice part.
So how that works, if you are in this situation and some Stephanie would call me, I would answer by text. I am in a meeting right now, I call you back later. My voice will play back to her in that voice call. So for now, the voice recording, so it works in Korean and English. In the Korean language, you can record your own voice, so the listener would receive actually your own voice. In English, it will come very soon. So we love that feature. It's cool.
But what you're virtually doing is doing a voice clone, a voice twin, right? You're making a version of your voice, and then you can type in whatever, and you're going to hear that version of your voice, right?
Yes. But it's not generative AI. This is digital filtering. We'll capture the tone of your voice and reproduce that tone, so which is quite different from a full machine learning generative AI engine.
So it won't sound exactly like me.
It does. It does.
Okay, so it will.
It will sound like you.
Is that a good idea? That my phone will sound exactly like me and anyone can type in what I sound like?
Only if you decide to.
But will there be any... So say somebody decides they want to do a recording of Tom Cruise on this and their voice will be Tom Cruise. Can that... Is there restrictions on that?
But you can do that today. You can record any voice. There are applications on the internet to modify the tone. You can do that.
But this is going to be on Samsung phones. There's more Samsung phones than probably some of these uses.
I think it's based on user choice. I don't see a problem with it, really. I think it's quite fun, actually.
Okay. Let's shift to talking about VR, AR, your partnership, Samsung, Google, and Qualcomm, around headsets. And we talked a little bit about the future, but it sounds like you guys are all three teaming up to make something. What are you making?
Do you want a date, a form factor?
I mean, you have a picture, you have a phone, you can show.
No, I don't have a picture yet, but I can tell you what we do. The reason why we announced is we believe it's a long journey and there is a lot of work to be done. And a characteristic of our ecosystem is we are open. So we don't do it alone. So we are doing a lot of fundamental work with, obviously, with Qualcomm and Google on the core technologies and finding out the right experiences. But also, as we go, we are signaling to a number of ecosystem players that they should be ready to develop applications and apps and services to that ecosystem. Because we believe when the mixed reality devices will come in, okay, we do some good stuff, and we have some good apps, and so does Google, and Qualcomm has great technology. But the real power comes from a richer ecosystem. There are a lot of startups and a lot of smaller companies who will innovate if we give them the right access and if we give enough time to develop on that platform. And they also have the confidence that big companies like Qualcomm and Samsung and Google are into it for the long term.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you all of you for being here.
All right, that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. If you're looking for more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.